Hi, I'm Chelsea Handler. Welcome to Life Will Be the Death of Me, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to our podcast this week, Brandon.
Hello.
Hello.
So this week's episode is of our shows in Chicago. I had two shows in Chicago with Sean Hayes. So we split it, I think, into two episodes, right?
Yep, this week and next week.
Okay, so this week's episode, I do a reading, which we'll play for you next week, of one of my chapters. And Sean comes out and immediately starts attacking me for that. So you can listen to that right now. I'm going to bring out a very special guest, a native of Chicago. He's been on the show, Will and Grace, for 67 years. And his name is Sean Hayes. Come on out.
Hi, everybody. How are you? Thank you. What's happening? Remember when Oprah would come out, she'd go, take a seat. Like, that is so condescending, wasn't it, to her audience? Take a seat. But, Charles, you only literally only have 10 pages left in the book. Nobody has to buy it.
What a fucking asshole. Sean and I want to first, before you start with whatever questions you haven't prepared, I want to talk about...
Believe me, I just learned how to read.
I did an episode of Will and Grace with Sean.
Take a seat.
Where I played a lesbian power couple with my best friend, Mary. Yeah.
Typecasting.
I would be a great lesbian.
What do you mean, would?
I would. I can't, but I would. If I were to do that, I would kill it.
I'm sure you would.
I've done it until it was my turn, and then I quit. No thanks.
That's hilarious.
Not into going down on your beaver. Yeah. Not into it.
And that is why I'm gay.
Anyway, we met on Will and Grace, and listen,
we met before that.
But I don't remember that.
No, yeah,
we met on a game show, right? Didn't we do some charity game show?
Yes, and before that, something.
Yeah.
Quite an impression.
I remember saying something to you the first time I met you, and I was like, oh, hey, something about being gay, and you're like, I'm not gay. And I was like,
oh,
yeah, you are.
When did I say that?
Or you said, I'm not out. You were being funny, but I didn't know that.
Oh.
And I was like, you're not, you go, I'm not out. I go, yeah, you are.
Oh, that was probably like I was 25, 26 or something.
Were you not out when you
yes,
were 25?
Yes, I was totally out, but I was not out. That's a different interview. It's a very boring story.
All right. Well, I mean,
I'm
if
out,
you
proud, happy,
if you
all
want to
stuff.
Minimize your gayness, you go ahead and do that.
Well, one of us has to.
So, Sean, I met him on Will and Grace, which is a like a
it's well, a television show.
It's a television yeah. show. A lot of you won't know about it, but it was here for a while, then it went away, and then it came back,
yeah,
and it's still here.
Yeah. And thank you.
And I had so stupid.
It's so dumb. Wait, you were so good on the show, and she didn't want me to come out and say how great you are, but you were so fucking great. And you were really scared, and you were nervous.
I was nervous like, oh my as God. Fuck. And I don't get nervous, I mean, I do, but I like to make up my own words, not a script. So when I got the script, I'm like, oh, this is a
Which
guideline.
Which the writers love.
Yeah. I was like, oh, this is a guideline. I'll paraphrase this.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you need to say the line. I'm like, I don't know it. And they're like, fucking learn it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. I hadn't been talked to like that in a long time. So I was like, oh, and then I'm in my room, like, memorizing my lines. It was simple lines like, no, and I'd be in the mirror going, no! And Mary's like, no, not like that. I'm like, no!
But you've acted a billion times before that.
I don't know. It was just too much of a well-oiled machine. You guys were so in gear, and I was out of my element, and Mary is a professional.
Yeah.
I like to wing shit, and that usually works for me.
Yeah.
I like improv, and like, you know... And that was not the right space for me because everyone is so tight and they know what they're doing that
I
stuck out like a sore thumb. And I hope I never see any of those people again.
Yeah, well, we hope you come back on.
We don't. No, we're...
We're good. We're good. We got it.
I said to him, I go, how badly am I embarrassed? And once we did the taping, I was fine by the end of the week because I had to be. But the rehearsals all week long were just getting at my self-esteem. I was like, oh, you suck. You can't even fucking
act. And meanwhile,
act.
You were getting huge laughs. The audience
just
loved
you. Just shut up.
You.
You know you were talking shit about me, too. I
you
know
are,
I'm not hysterical
you
right
now.
You
were hilarious.
Well, it was a fun show. You're hilarious, but
well,
whatever.
Thank
Let's
you.
Stop rubbing each other's assholes
so
down.
Much. I brought my phone out here just in case I get a phone call.
Can I have my phone too then?
I want to, I also told Karen, her assistant, Karen.
Karen's the tour manager.
Well, she looks like an assistant. She, I meant the pay grade is higher. She looks like an assistant is what I meant to say. Right, Karen?
Just
yeah.
Keep talking, do it. Wave to her now, yes.
Do another one of these.
I said, you got to read this book. We're going to do this in Chicago. He's nice enough to say he's going to come. We have two shows. He was nice enough to say yes.
No, no, that's not how this went down. You said to me, I have an A Marco Polo. Should I play it?
No.
Oh, wait, it'd take too long.
No, but don't you get your phone out.
So Chelsea says to me, hey, this because this is how she asks somebody to do something. Hey, I'm going to Chicago to do a thing. You're cool with going, right? You're cool to come because I need you to come and do this. And so I go, I don't know. Flying, I have to go to New York. I have to do this. And really, I fly to Chicago. I don't love to travel, but all my friends who are here tonight, both of you clap. Yeah.
There they are.
There they are. They're actually the ushers here. But anyway, so
it'd be great if your two friends from high school were both ushers here. They're like, I keep in touch with two people, and they both happen to work at the same theater. It's right. So weird.
But anyway, she's like, you're going, and I was like, okay, fine, I'll go. Are you paying for the trip? She said yes. I go, fine, I'm totally going. And then she said, but you have to read the book. And I'm like, I can't. I have to read.
He
your
goes,
book.
I can't read.
I can't read. I have to read your book. And let me tell you something. It is probably the best book I've ever read out of the three. I mean, there's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The Giving Tree. And what is it called? Life Will Be the Death of Me. And let me tell you, it is. I'm being totally serious. Did I not Marco Polo you after every chapter? And I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. We're the exact same person. There's so many similarities.
What did you?
Of our
what was the first thing that you read in there that you thought we're the same person?
Well, I saw the word vodka in there. Wait, I want to say something. I want to get back to that. But I have to tell this funny Will and Grace story really quick.
Great.
We're not.
No, I want you to.
Okay, because it makes me laugh.
Do it.
I think it'll make you laugh because she does edibles and I used to smoke pot a lot. And so...
I'm going to get you back on the pot. Okay. I'm going to get everybody
here
on the pot.
Yeah, she's like pushing pot on me. I can't...
It's a game changer.
It makes me crazy. It makes me crazy now. So anyway, after we tape... an episode, this is like in 1953 when we first did the show, I would go back to Max Muchnick's house, who was the creator of the show, and we would, I think he's okay with me saying, we'd smoke a little bit, and we'd discuss the evening, like the taping of the show we just taped, and it was fun, and we'd laugh, and he just moved in this brand new house, and it was unbelievable. It was like super high tech, and I was stoned out of my mind, and I'm sitting in the back of his like crazy Hollywood theater in his house, you know how the people have those huge theaters. And it was all brand new equipment. And he's like, and he goes, you remember that scene in Castaway where the plane's going down and Tom Hanks is in the bathroom and he gets whipped out and it's crazy and they're going down? I'm like, yeah. He goes, let's put that in. Let's just fast forward to that scene. It's incredible, right? And I'm like, yes, let's watch that. And so he goes to his big, huge fucking, you know, TV screen and he has the Castaway thing. And he can't figure out how to do it because it's a brand new house, it's brand new equipment. And I'm way in the back of the theater like this, stoned out of my mind. And I go, is that a Sony? And he goes, yeah, how did you? I go, those are the new ones, they're voice activated. And he's like, what? And I go, is that a Sony? He goes, yeah. I go, those are the new ones. I read all about them. They're voice activated. You'd have to say the name of the movie after you put the DVD in. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? I go, listen to me. I just read all about them. You have to say the name. And then he's like this, really? I go, yes. So he puts the DVD in and he goes, Castaway. Castaway. Like that. And I couldn't even breathe. I was laughing so hard. Okay, so let's get back
That's
to the
funny.
Book. So tell me, I'm just going to ask you a question, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, well, you said the first thing. Well, that I realized we were the same, you know, that we both have, there's five children in our family.
Yeah, big families,
yeah,
right?
You're the youngest. You need attention. I need attention. You felt like an outsider your whole life as a kid. You write about that in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you feel that way as a kid? What were the circumstances that made you feel, even though you were in a household with two parents, and you talk about them a lot, saying how they weren't really present or with you, yet you felt, but see, I didn't have a dad, and my mom worked all the time, so my mom raised five kids by herself.
And was your mom present when she was with you guys?
Yeah, to me, she was. She was the best mom ever. She was very loving and supportive and everything, until I came out. No, and then she was great. She did like a 180. But I was like, great, now I don't have a mom or a dad. And then I would just cry and leave. So tell me what made you feel that way, because I don't know that I would have felt that way even with two parents, but you had the parents and yet you still felt the same as me.
I felt like an outsider because my family was just not traditional and my dad was just a mess. He was a used car dealer, so there was just shit at my, like our family, like it looked like Sanford and Son, our house, and we lived in this kind of like upper middle class Jewish neighborhood, so everybody else's parents were like normal and they
and
had two.
Your mom was Jewish and your dad wasn't?
Well, my mom was Mormon, who I thought she was Jewish until I was 10, and then it was revealed to me that she was Mormon. I'm like, oh, this is great news. I was like, what's Mormon? And then they told me, I'm like, oh, no. And I was like, I'll take the dreidel, thank you very much, you know? Yeah.
It's like Mormon Scientology. It's like yeah. So close.
I felt like, yeah, definitely adjacent. I just felt like, I think everyone feels out of place. I mean, I think most people feel like they don't belong. Like, you fit in sometimes in your life, and other times you feel like an outsider, like a faker, like you're not real, like people like you for the wrong reasons, or they don't get you. You know, you're always kind of dipping in and out of the right zone in life. You know what I mean? Your train's on the track sometimes, and everything's vibing, and then sometimes it's off. And in my family, it was off when I was born. Like, I slept with my brother. My mom let me sleep when I was a two-day-old baby. And she's like, oh, she always would tell the story how my oldest brother, Chet, how he slept with me on the first night I was home from the hospital. Yeah. And I was like, but why? Why did you let a 12-year-old sleep with me? And she's like, that's not the point of the story, sweetie. I'm like, I think it's the biggest point of the story.
Yeah. And then Dan, your therapist, said that was the first guy to break up with you.
Yeah.
At 9 years old, and then you associated relationships with men being broken up with.
I associated all relationships. I said to Dan once, I said, why do I end relationships on a dime? I have a pattern where people do some one thing, and I'm like, you're out. Get out of my life. I can't trust you. You're a liar. You're, you know, a cheater, whatever. And not just with men, with girlfriends, with anyone. It was black and white. And I asked him, I go, there's a common denominator here, and I'm pretty sure it's me. Like, I have a ton of friends all the time, but not a ton of old friends.
Right.
You know, I have some, but a lot of people go in and out of my life and I'm done with them, or I'm annoyed, or I lose interest, or whatever. But I, like, it's scorched earth. And he said, because that's your first blueprint for breaking up with somebody. It's here today and gone tomorrow.
Right. And then your dad passed away, and you're like, there's another guy who betrayed me.
Well, he just passed away last year, but we were waiting for a while. No, that was all right because he was too old. And when I was writing this book, I said to my therapist, I'm like, My brother's, I'm like, everyone's, I'm like, so my brother died, my mother died, my dad's hopefully going to die this year. I'm like, it's too much death.
We had dinner in October or November, like literally a week or 2 weeks right after your dad died. And she's like, I don't know, do you guys know what the special is? Oh, Sean, by the way, my dad died. I'll have the broccoli soup and like, and I was like, wait,
I
what,
would
your
never
dad
order
died?
Broccoli soup. I mean, what do I want to explode?
Whatever.
No, thank you. First of all, whoever who made up broccoli soup, take it back. It's like the McRib. Like, no, thank you.
I'll take two McRibs in my broccoli
soup. What about
soup.
What?
That's everything I'm for.
What is the food we ordered between
We two? Ordered Portillo's. She's never had Portillo's. See, you idiot. Ooh, this is good. I've always wondered this, too. Have you ever had difficulty separating your public from your private self in
no.
your friendships?
Friendships? What do you mean?
I'm going to read it again. Have you ever had difficulty separating your public from your private self in your friendships? Moving on.
I think those two things are really intertwined for me. I mean, my public persona is my real persona. Like, that's who I am. I don't put on a show. That's why I'm, you know.
Right.
I don't. I try not to. I try not to lie about anything. I mean, that's more advantageous for me because I don't want to get caught in a lie, you know? I don't want the press to come out and be like, oh, Chelsea was shit-faced. I'm like, I'm shit-faced. I want to tell everyone I'm shit-faced.
Right, right, right.
So don't try and catch me, okay? You got to get ahead of it. No secrets.
I remember, you know what? I remember seeing you on like TMZ and like E and stuff like that, where you would be out just like fucking telling it like it is. And like, how are you different now than you were then?
Well, what I, you know, again, learning all this stuff through this therapist was about, you know, my big, loud personality and this brashness that I had, you know.
Because a lot of people say they've had awakenings and they don't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that in the thing. You're like, page 172, I memorized the page number.
Wow.
Because it was so.
It's National Autism Awareness Month, so good for you.
Yeah. Me and Mary Lou Henner are having a drink after this. Isn't she the one who knows like dates and times and all that? What were you doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right? She's like an astrologist or something, right?
No, she's not. No, no.
Mary Lou Henner's an astrologist. You know she is.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
So you say the question is, why am I so impatient as an adult? Chelsea Handler says to her therapist. Okay, Dan says, give me an example of something. It's only one page. It's not 87 pages.
Just
like
fucking read it then.
Okay, give me an example of something that happens frequently, he asks you. You said, when I can't turn on the TV in my house or I can't get the music on, that's something that happens all the time. And then I have to call one of my assistants, right? And then what does it feel like, he says, when you can't work your music, right? Because I get annoyed and irritated and impatient with technology.
I think a lot
technology.
Of people feel that way about right. technology.
So you say, it made me feel annoyed. And he says, what's underneath that? You said, more annoyance. He says, but what's the emotion under it? And you said, I don't know, anger? And he says, what does that feel like? And you said, can't you just tell me? And you see, I read that right. And then he said, keep going. Are there any images that elicit the feeling? And she's like, I don't know, musical notes? And he says, is there a feeling? And you said, frustration. And he said, because why? And you said, because my intention was to listen to music, and now I can't. And he says, anything else? And you're like, stupid? Useless? He says, helpless? And you said, yes. And he says, what does that feel like? And you said, sad? And he said, sit with that. And you said, helpless and sad. I agree. But then where does that anger come in? Fucking genius. He says, sad is your internal reaction, which turns to anger because anger sets you in kinetic motion, like we were talking about, to avoid the sadness of sitting there and not listening to music and knowing your plans have been thwarted. Your anger is your way to avoid sadness. I love that. I need to go to therapy. Because, and then the whole lesson from that in the book, which I read,
you're a beautiful reader, by the way. That was you're a reader.
Yeah, well.
Look at you.
I learned backstage. No, what's cool about that is you said after that, and then he introduces the IAM,
Identification, awareness, modification. So, like, I have a real problem with patients. I know you do, too. And he wanted me to give examples. That was one example. Another example of my impatience is, like, if I go to an airport, you know, those stores, the bookstores that have the magazines and candy, the slowness of that transaction.
Yes. By the way, I just said Scotty. I just told Scotty the story in the airport on the way here.
I'm like, the people are never there, and then
tell them what you do.
I usually just grab whatever book I'm looking for, and I just take 20 or 30 bucks and throw it in front of the security camera and just wave it around and go, I'm gonna be in the airport if this isn't enough money. And then I put it on the counter and I walk out because I cannot deal with the slowness and it's, waiting in line.
It's so true.
Like these people at the airports. And I was telling Dan, like, he was going to be with me, like, commiserating, like, yeah, I get it. And he was just like, what? Yeah. And I was like, I just can't deal with it. It's too slow. I just want the book, and I want to go. And he's like, yeah, everybody wants what they want, and they want to go. And I'm like, oh, is that privilege? Is that being white? He's like, no, white people aren't doing that either. I was like, good to know. And then it's like, you know, like in a hotel, but impatience about things that are so, it's so unempathetic to be like that. Like to not, you know, who knows what these people are dealing with or why they're slow or why they're, you know, why they're in the back for a half hour while you're waiting to buy a magazine. I was in DC a few weekends ago on this tour and the fire alarm, I was in my room, I'd taken an edible. I was just like, just really jamming out by myself. Reading my Instagram DMs, people's responses. I was trying to respond, but I was very stoned. And I had the steamer going and just forgot about it.
Sounds like a party.
It's an after party. Guys, you want to come over? One person.
Want to come over? I got my steamer on.
Like, I'm going to turn my steamer on and get loose. The steamer's for the broccoli soup. Yeah. So I went. And I heard the alarm go off. I was like, oh. And I texted Karen, because we were in the same hotel, obviously. And I texted her, and I was like, if there's a fire drill, I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I just thought of a jingle really fast. The Regina steamer carpet cleaner.
So stupid. And so I realized after like 10 more minutes that she's like, I don't hear an alarm. I'm like, oh, well, there's one going off. Hopefully they'll fix it. And then I realized it's in my room going off. And I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, you are dumb. And then I looked at the alarm and I'm like, I've learned patience. I've learned to take a breath. I've learned to not react, to take a minute. That was something I didn't know you could do.
Yeah.
I heard about it, but I heard about people saying, write an email back. Don't send it until the next day. And I'm like, all right. You know, like, that's fun for you. Yeah. I've never done that. I'm reactive. I'm like, you, fuck you. I don't like this. I don't let other like problems settle. Or the idea that, you know, write a letter to yourself and in the morning you might not even want to send it. I'm like, that's never going to happen.
But do you do that now? Because I do that. I did it. I'm somewhere in between your extremeness and doing that. I do that. Like if I have to write a really angry, or if I feel angry at somebody, I always write the email out first and I don't send it.
Yeah, that's what you should do. And usually, I had never tried it. So what I learned was that usually the next day, you really don't want to send it. You don't care half the time anymore the next day. But to the fire alarm, I went and I was like, here's an opportunity to not be a baby. Like usually if a fire alarm ever went off at a hotel, I would just walk out the door and check into another hotel. Like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with a line of people out. I just be like, fuck, I would even leave my clothes and just be like, let's get new stuff. I mean, I've been on vacation and seen my suitcase ready to pack and I'd be like, let's just leave it. I can't deal. Like, let me just
get
new things.
I get that. Do you ever travel? Do you ever travel overseas and send your luggage before you?
Yeah, always. Yeah. Always. FedEx. Until they gave money to Trump, and then I stopped using that. And then I started using UPS, and they don't get shit anywhere on time, so now I use FedEx again. That was a big commitment.
If you've seen Castaway, sometimes FedEx doesn't get there. So,
So, anyway, it was a moment. I was like, oh, the fire alarm's going off. Like, you're capable of doing this. You've dealt with this before. At some point, before you had domestic amnesia, you were able to do simple tasks like this. So I got a chair out, and I went up, and I undid it. I took the battery out, and I looked at the battery, and the alarm went off. And I was like, oh, look at you, girl. And then I looked at the battery, I looked at the minus and the positive. I was like, how do you know this? Like, it was one of those moments where I was like, see, you know how to do shit. You're just a baby. And you've had so many people working for you for so long that I lost touch with, like, reality. And I was spoiled. And I was so icked out by myself. You know, it came to a crescendo where I was so spoiled and I was saying yes to things because of paychecks rather than being thoughtful about what I wanted to put out into the world.
Yep.
And you know how that goes. You get successful and people are like into you and love you. And you're like, oh, yeah. I want more. I want more. And I sat in that hotel room and I'm like, this is everything you've been working on. Just be a regular person. Be down to earth and like, don't be, you know, a baby. And so I got up, I put this thing back on and I got off the chair and I was about to text my sister. Like, I just turned off a fire alarm. And I was like, don't send that text, you asshole. Just keep it here. Not everything is for everybody all the time. You're not a performance. Just be with yourself.
That's really, you know? Really great. Yeah.
Are you crying?
Inside, I am. And I heard every other word you just said. I'm kidding. That was really great. It was great. My friend Maria Shriver, and I've told you this before,
How did you become friends with Maria Shriver?
No, she's fantastic. As you know, you met her.
Yeah, I love Maria Shriver. She's a real mama bear.
She's the best and super smart. And she always says, to your point for the last 20 minutes, she said, she said, you know, a lot of people tweet and Instagram and voice their own opinion, their angry opinions on Facebook or whatever it is. And they go crazy and they yell and scream. And she always says, I totally agree with you. What are you doing about it? And it shuts people down because people use their voices all the time and they should, and we should. We should speak our minds and everything. But there's not enough people putting that into action, right? So if I feel, right, if I feel so fucking pissed about a certain, you know,
issue
that Trump is not supporting or supporting in the wrong way or whatever, you know, and I feel that strongly about it, I could bitch about it, but there's plenty of people bitching about everything. So what are we doing about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we can vote, but beyond voting, there has to be things we can do in little chunks that will add up. And I think people are.
Yeah, I think people are really actually realizing that they have to do something because otherwise, you know, everything's at risk. I mean, if you have a daughter or you... I mean, whatever reasons. I think people have been galvanized in a way that is really inspiring. I mean, I've become friends with people I would never talk to before the election because we're like a coalition, you know? I've met women and it made me open my eyes and realize how privileged my whole life has been, you know? I don't know what it's like to be a person of color. I have no idea what that's like. And how often was I thinking about what it's like to be a person of color? Not often enough. How often was I thinking about what it's like to be a gay person and to be scared of violence, to be scared and get pulled over by a police officer and have it be a life or death situation? We need to always be fucking thinking about that, and we need to be mobilized in helping communities that need us.
Right.
You know, and not because white people are gonna fix the problem, but I don't think that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that people who have platforms, I feel a sense of responsibility to look outside of my own asshole and look around at other people's stories and say, how can I be a better advocate? How can I know more? How can I be a good ally? Because I'm not fighting for my rights. I want to vote for other people's rights. I got enough, you know, in this life. It's
right.
Full.
Right. That's so great. I have, here's a funny story. So.
We'll see about that.
So you mentioned an alarm a while ago.
An alarm? Oh,
yeah,
yes, a fire alarm.
Right.
Good recall, Sean.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So, Scotty and I, this is a funny story, just because we're going to balance this conversation.
Yeah, sure. Balance it. Yeah, I know you don't like to get too serious.
I've seen it.
No. Go. Let's... Yuck it up.
No, let's move on. Let's
no,
go
no,
on.
No, 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 no,
no.
Don't be
that
like
funny.
That.
No, it's not that
Tell
funny.
The story now.
Oh, God. So, Scotty and I don't know if you even know if that's that funny, but... So Scotty, my husband, we were watching the movie Gone Girl, right?
Yeah.
Gone Girl with Ben Affleck and some woman.
Rosamund Pike.
Is that really who it is?
Yeah, that's her name.
Oh, okay. Is that true?
Yeah.
Okay.
You think I can make up a name like that? Rosamund Pike? I mean, I can't believe I even remembered it.
I know that. She really stuck with you.
I'm obviously a huge fan.
So we're watching the movie, and it's like, I don't know, 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. It's not that scary of a movie, but it's kind of like a thriller. Did anybody see it? All right.
Yeah, everyone. And, that was a great movie.
Yeah. And so we're watching it, and all of a sudden, our fire alarm goes off for some reason. Because the fucking battery, Mike, because when the battery goes, it goes,
are you serious beep, beep, right beep, now? Beep, are you going to kill my steal my story right now?
No. But wait, I'm going to build on it. I'm actually going to make it interesting. should I text my sister that I changed the battery? No. Period. Jesus. God. Thank God for your angst against Trump. So anyway. Ooh, I'm going to get it in between shows.
Yeah, that hot dog is coming your way. Coming in hot.
Gladly. So anyway.
What's that expression? A hot dog in a hallway? What is that? You know what
Loose girl. A loose girl.
Oh, I thought it was about loose guys.
Or that.
Yeah.
Like a hot dog, throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
What a gross visual.
Anyway, so.
So yeah, if
so
I
we're alarm. Watching Gone Girl. And the fire alarm goes off, right? And it triggers, the sound triggers our house alarm, which, cover your ears, is like, boo, 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 boo. I mean, it's like unnerving, right? It's in the backyard. It fucking goes off in the backyard. And the neighbors, right, it's so loud. And so we're like, wait, what the fuck? We didn't hear the fire alarm. And we're watching Gone Girl. So we're like kind of freaked out already. And so the alarm's going off because we didn't hear anything. And we're like, what the fuck? So we go and punch the code, right? Which is, I won't tell you what it is. And so we punch the code and it goes off. We're like, Jesus God, that gave me a heart attack. And then the fire alarm, pew! And then the fucking house alarm goes off. We're like, what the fuck? And this goes on for a half an hour, right? So I turn that off and we're like, what's going on? And we call the thing, the fire alarm company, the house alarm company, what's going on? So we don't know. So, oh my God. So then we didn't know it was the fire alarm setting off the house alarm, right?
Okay.
Right?
Got it. Because, yeah, you don't have a code for your fire alarm.
No, have a battery like an idiot would have known. So when I kind of buried the lead. But anyway, so I go in the crawl space of the attic, Mr. Mechanic, and. Mike and the Mechanics, and I fucking cut the cord to the house alarm because I don't know how to fucking fix it. And then we unscrew these grates, like these huge grates in the hallways, that hallway and that hallway, because I live in a mansion. And I cut that fucking alarm thing. I'm cutting wires all over, and every time, like, am I gonna get fucking killed? Like, you know, like Die Hard, like, cut the wire, not the red one, the green one. And so, and then finally, no more house alarm, right? And then we hear, like,
the
so
chirp.
Quiet.
It's a chirp. Like,
it's a chirp. It's a chirp. And
oh,
I'm like,
so annoying that
are
sound.
Are you fucking kidding me? For an hour, and the neighbors' lights went on, and they're like, what? And all we had to do was change the battery. A little longer than yours, but a little funnier.
I once had my pool overflowing at my house and left my house and checked into a hotel. Yes. I was rising. I was like, Brandon, I don't like the looks of this. I'm taking off. I like the idea of cutting wires, though. You know, sometimes when those things are chirping, it's because the battery's low, and so you
right,
think there's
the
a fire.
Point of the story.
Yeah.
That's the point of the story.
Sorry, I'm sitting over here in deep pain.
No, that's okay. The shoes look great with the T-shirt. So, go ahead. I look like a lesbian. Just say
no,
it.
No, I won't say it. I won't. No, when you go low, I go high.
Okay, well, this sounds like a good time to take a break.
Okay, so wait, these are really good questions. Who wrote these? I wanted to ask you something else about...
being horny?
Yeah.
I haven't had sex in a really long time.
That's about...
a long time. Like, I had sex with a ski guide that I was skiing with a year ago. And he got fired from his job for having sex with me as like a ski... Yeah, he was a ski guide. I was skiing with him. Well, he was skiing with my nephews all week. And then at like midweek, I was like, who's that guy? Bring him over here. And we skied together and I hooked up with him. And then he got in trouble for having sex with a client, I guess.
That's what they call you,
a client? Yeah. Well, wait.
Guys, I got a client. I can't.
The story's not over because, the client...
No, you're like a snow bunny. You're like a thumper.
a little bunny rabbit. I felt really badly for getting him fired because, I didn't make him have sex with me, but I felt bad anyway. And so I gave him some money because I felt bad about his firing. And when I told...
You paid him
to just
because you
say,
felt bad about him being fired.
Yeah, and he thought...
Because you felt like you caused the firing.
Yes. I felt like I've done this before where I've had sex with people I shouldn't have and then they get fired and then I have to give them a severance package.
So funny.
And
that's so funny.
So I gave this guy like...
So funny.
I gave him $20,000.
No, you did not.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'll fuck you for that. Hot dog down a hallway, baby.
I wouldn't fuck somebody for 20 grand.
Really?
No, you
How
obviously...
much? How much?
I don't know.
How
I mean,
much? Everybody I has a price.
Think,
say it.
I don't know. I don't
Wait,
think
somebody
I could...
Said, I'll give you, somebody said, I'll give need, you $1 million.
I don't need $1 million to fuck
if somebody.
Somebody
said, I'll give you $10 million.
No, I'm not going to fuck somebody. Well, maybe 10 million, yeah. I would give it away to charity.
Everybody's
that would be
got
an impetus. I would say,
have
I'm doing
seen,
this for the country.
Have you ever seen... Have you ever seen baitbus.com?
Who?
Anybody clap if you've seen baitbus.com? The gays know.
What is it?
Baitbus. Baitbus.com, right, Scotty? Yeah. Scotty's like, what?
I like how wherever you look, there's Scotty.
I know.
Sometimes he's over there. It's like, where's Waldo? He just appears.
This actually is a wheelchair, and he's going to wheelchair me out of here. Out of here. No, Baitbus is like, it's gay guys who, it's a whole thing where... straight guys get lured into a bus. There's a girl there with titties, and he's like, yeah. And she's like, can I blindfold you? And she's like, yeah. And then a guy blows him, and they take the fucking thing off. And he's like, what the fuck's going on? And they're like, see, it doesn't matter. And he mouth to mouth. Baitbus.com. By the way, it's so old, I don't even know if it's up anymore.
What a beautiful nighttime story. Everyone can go home and tell that to your loved ones or your children tonight. Don't get on the bus because you know what happens.
That's right. How much time?
Oh, we have to wrap it up. We have to say goodbye soon. What would you like your parting words of wisdom to be?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Before you fuck me with that hot dog.
I'm going to tell you and everybody here that, and you've probably been told this before, that, well, I'm not going to back, I'm going to back into, no, it's not. I'm going to back into that. I think for people who don't know Chelsea, and I'm assuming a lot of you don't know her personally, that her deepest, darkest secret is she is the kindest, sweetest, most gentle, loving, selfless, giving person ever. And you need to accept that. Sit with that.
I'm going to accept that.
Sit
I appreciate
that.
You saying something nice for once. Thank you.
Oh, please. And this book, truly, out of the three I've read, no, this book is really, really, truly the best book I've ever read. It is so fraught with lessons and... enlightenment and
things that you can take away and apply to your life and grow and learn, and not a lot of books do that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. I want to just read something from my book. This is a little serious, so you can close your ears. We're selling bracelets, these ones that I'm wearing that say I decide on them, and t-shirts that say I decide that go to the LGBTQIA community. Is it IA or AI community?
It should all be just Q, but I'm not in charge of that.
Okay. It's going to youth of the LGBTQIA community.
Too many letters.
Yeah,
don't
well,
you agree?
I know. I'm not the one who's gay, so no. I don't know who's coming up with the letters. No, I don't know. They're adding letters all the time. I'm just trying to show respect.
All of those people should just be Q. It should just be Q.
Queer?
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe they will. I mean, eventually they're going to have to narrow it down to one letter.
And by the way, your thing should fucking say Q on them. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, well, thanks for that. Let me decide which one to read. Like to go out with something meaningful from this stupid, stupid conversation. Hold on, let me find something. I'll read this. I'll read this last part of the book.
Oh, this is so good.
Oh, shut up. Your voice has meaning. Find something that you care about that has nothing to do with you and learn about it. Pay attention when you're tired, take care of yourself, read more, watch less TV, find new people to teach you their life lessons, be proactive. Know that you have something of value that is unlike what anyone else has. The world is only getting browner and gayer, and if you don't hop on board, you're gonna miss the fucking bus.
The bait bus.
Everybody, thank you for coming out, Chicago. Thank you, thank you. Come on, honey, this way. Okay, well, that's our first episode with Sean Hayes. We will be back next week with a second episode with Sean. And I am coming to perform in Atlanta this weekend at the Tabernacle Theater. I'm coming to Westbury, Long Island, Montclair, New Jersey. And I'm coming to a whole bunch of new places, and additional dates have been added. So you can go to livenation.com or chelseahandler.com. And the book is called
Life Will Be the Death of Me, and You Too.
And that's Brandon. He is my consigliere. Good night.
Life Will Be the Death of Me is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.